Let's go back to 2016. Carlos Brathwaite hits four sixes in a row against the speechless Ben Stokes to seal the West Indies' second T20 World Cup. You know, this is a notable performance by Ian Bishop saying, "Carlos Brathwaite, remember the name." The West Indies were the top of the world with their all-power batting approach and economical bowling led by some of the best bowlers in the world. No one could match them at that point. Everyone else was so far behind. Fast forward 6 years and there's none of that swagger, that dominance left. Greats such as the Universe boss, Chris Gayle, Dwayne Bravo, Kieran Pollard don't play or retired. West Indies actually ranked 7th in T20s now, 8th in Test and 9th in ODIs. What's happened to the mighty West Indies? We're going to look at their fall as a team in this episode of the Completely Cricket podcast, hosted by Avinash Sridharan and Zaid Ahmed. On a separate note, thank you to one of our listeners for suggesting this topic via the Completely Cricket website. Anyone who's listening can tell us what they want us to talk about in our future episodes via the Completely Cricket website, link below. If you put your name on the submitting page and we pick your topic, we will give you a shout out on the episode. So please submit your suggestions on what you want us to talk about on the Completely Cricket podcast. Let's get started with this episode, the fall of the West Indies. So West Indies has been a hugely famous team and hugely popular team in periods throughout the last, 50, 60 years. We could start with, 70s and 80s fast bowling led by some of the greats, Courtney Walsh, Mike Holding, people like that, very fast bowlers, completely dominated Test cricket for nearly 20 years. Then we have batsmen like Brian Lara with his batting, power batting, and he sort of carried the West Indies team for like nearly two decades. Then there was another era where power batting sort of became the whole thing with West Indies. And that was led by batsmen such as Chris Gayle, the Universe boss. It was a dominant feature in the West Indies cricket team and franchises across the world for close to 20 years. But then we've seen quite a bit of a decline since 2016 World Cup, which is arguably the West Indies' finest moment. We did mention their rankings earlier. So I think the way we're going to do this to sort of dissect the fall of the West Indies, I think we'll look at comparing the 2016 and the 2021 T20 World Cups and why the West Indies failed so badly in the 2021 World Cup. We'll also mention the 2019 World Cup a little bit, but it's not as significant. And then we'll also, after that, we'll look at their failures in Test cricket as well. And finally, we'll finish off at looking for their hopes for the 2022 T20 World Cup. And yeah, I think that's pretty much it. That'll be the entire contents of this episode. So Zaid, we talked to you about 2016, Carlos Brathwaite, four sixes to win the match. 2021 World Cup, how would you describe West Indies' performance in that World Cup?
Well, I think from 2016 to 2021, just in those, that 5-year period, I think West Indies just lost all their firepower. With the bowling especially and the batting as well. Chris Gayle, he did play, didn't he? And I think he just, him and a lot of the batsmen, obviously West Indies can't always rely on Chris Gayle, and he's not, I think he's retired now. So I think they just lost all their firepower. They just didn't have anyone. But it's just a quick word, back in 1975 or so, they had literally everyone. And then just slowly through the decades, they just sort of, slowly lost their players. And I think the period from 2016 to now was the biggest period. So just in that 2021 World Cup, see, there's just no one. Like, some of the players I hadn't even heard of. Some like, I think, left-arm off-spin, Akhil Hussain. He actually was near the end of the World Cup. He became one of the main spinners in that team. No one had really heard of him. And if we look at 2016... like literally every single player was like, big, they were out there, they were pretty, everyone knew about them. And then now their players are a bit, we haven't even heard of them. And we're going to talk about, I think, the current team. But in 2021, I think they just lost all their firepower and they didn't really have anyone of note.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's a lot of elements to this. It's not as simple as, they've lost all their firepower or something. But that is one of the key points. I think the mold of the West Indies 2016 team was sort of like a all or nothing, hit or miss type of a mold of their team. And they were, they would smack it and it worked, and they did it with such a frequent success, so it became like normal. And then if you look at the 2021 World Cup, it was a similar logic, but this time they just didn't have the quality of players to do that successfully and to do that over a tournament. So then they won one match in that tournament. They only won one match in 2021 World Cup and finished fifth out of six in their table. And in that match, they won it. And apart from that, the other four, they just lost. They had no chance of winning because their, you know, all out smacking approach just didn't work. And that's something that's you know, that I think it's just a very fixed mold in the West Indies team that's been there since the last 5 years. It's not really been a sort of adaptability. You haven't seen them in T20 cricket or ODI cricket or Test cricket being able to like couldn't survive and play a very good, you know, an innings where they've reached the targets that they want to set. It's either they score big and then they win occasionally, or the rest of it is, you know, low under par scores in all three formats. And that's something that it's really costing them. If we go closer to into batting and bowlers wise, something that's been quite noticeable in the 2021 World Cup, T20 World Cup, is the lack of actual pace bowlers in their team, like proper pace bowlers, not, you know, 80 miles an hour, 82 miles an hour, actually, you know, 90, 95 mile explosive bowlers. So if we look at the best teams in the world, England have someone like Jofra Archer, you know, Australia have someone like Mitchell Starc, for example. New Zealand have like Lockie Ferguson type pace bowler. And everyone, India have someone like Jasprit Bumrah. They all have like an explosive pace bowler who can really change a game. If we look at West Indies, they have good pace bowlers, you know, someone like Sheldon Cottrell, someone like O'Shane Thomas. These are all very good pace bowlers. A lot of them weren't even picked or were just sitting on the bench and just warming the bench for the entire series. And that's a bit, you know, it's very questionable because, you know, why are they sitting on the bench when they just don't have that, you know, that general, their genuine pace. And that's something that's been reflected in their bowling because their bowling got hit all the time. Also, Zaid, if you were to categorize the bowling, what would you say about them? Like in terms of length as well or something, what would you say their bowling is generally?
Well, yeah, you've talked a bit about pace. You know, they don't have that explosive pace bowler. You know, someone like Sheldon Cottrell, he's a good bowler, but he wouldn't really be. If I was to list my top eight fast bowlers in the world, or top 10 fast bowlers, Sheldon Cottrell is going to be in that. And that's just means that you probably, perhaps, your best bowler isn't even in the team. Sorry, in your top 10 fast bowlers. But I just think, you know, the bowling attack for West Indies isn't really like a unit. You know, when you have a team, you there's no point just having bowlers who know how to bowl and, you know, good bowlers. You know, you've got to have a unit. You've got to be able to utilize your bowlers, be able to work as a, you know, just the bowlers just need to work as a unit. I don't think they really have that. And just online, that's nothing, you know. Batsmen all over the world is really, you know, the game's changed a lot. You know, people are not a lot of batsmen are not afraid to play the scoop anymore. You know, we've seen Joe Root in Test cricket. He's played the reverse scoop. It's incredible. And people aren't afraid to do anything now. And that's why bowlers have really got to be on their A game every single time. But West Indies don't really have that. You know, all it is really, I think, you know, some in England, for example, some county players can even match the West Indies teams. The West Indies bowling attack. So I think, you know, it's just not really anything special. They're not just really just sort of trying to get it. And that's not to say West Indies are terrible. You know, they have got good bowlers like Sheldon Cottrell, but I just think there's nothing really special in that team that makes them, you know, anywhere near as good as 2016 or before.
Yeah, I think essentially they just don't have an X factor player. And in 2016, it wasn't as important because they had other bowlers. You know, they had bowlers like Samuel Badri who kept the economy really low and controlled, you know, innings. So it wasn't really necessary. But in the new sort of like era of T20 cricket, an explosive pace bowler who has like X factor is like pretty much necessary. And we're not here to like, you know, tell that West Indies are a trash team. No, they're not. 100% they're not. But it's just that they haven't really developed and they haven't given enough opportunities to players like O'Shane Thomas, Sheldon Cottrell, really. Now, Sheldon Cottrell was pretty good in the 2019 World Cup. I can clearly remember against New Zealand, you know, some really good, two really good Yorkers. I think it's Colin Munro and someone else, and they just completely, you know, outplayed some of the best bats in the world. So they've got good players, but why are they not picked or on the bench of the squad? Why are they not in the team? And you know, you can't rely on people like Jason Holder, you know, 70-80 mile an hour bowlers, to and Dwayne Bravo to make up your pace team, your pace bowling. They're good, but they're not, they don't provide any X factor. If we look at batting wise, something that's been key in all teams in T20, ODI and Test cricket is all-rounders. If you look at New Zealand, they have three key all-rounders. I'd say Colin de Grandhomme, Kyle Jamieson, Darryl Mitchell as three all-rounders. One's a batting all-rounder, one's a general all-rounder, one's a bowling all-rounder. So you've got three all-rounders. If you look at England, you've got someone like Liam Livingston, who's an all-rounder. Moeen Ali is an all-rounder. So there's so many examples. Do West Indies really have an all-rounder? I'm not really sure. If we look at their team, Kyle Mayers could be an all-rounder. There's no one else really is a proper all-rounder. Zaid, could you name any all-rounders in the current West Indies team in any format?
I mean, not particularly, but you know, someone like Robin Powell, a little bit. Akil Hussain from bad bit, but there's not really anyone that sticks out to you, and you know, that to be a proper all-rounder.
And the significance of an all-rounder is it just provides depth, because if you're, you know, if let's just say your top order doesn't do well, if you can bat into like 8-9, that, and with all-rounders or bowling all-rounders, that just gives you, you know, you there's not much pressure on the middle order and lower order, because you just have that depth. And if you're bowling wise, if your, you know, main strike bowlers are getting hit a little bit, you have options. And that's what all-rounders give you in all three formats. And I'd say in T20, they're relatively important, but I'd say they're actually most important in Test cricket, because, you know, as we've seen in New Zealand, they've used all-rounders quite well. You know, it just gives them another dimension to their bowling attack. If some bowler gets off injured, for example, or, you know, a bowler gets hit a bit, and I think it just provides that depth as well. And that's something that they really haven't had in any format, because it's usually similar bowlers playing, similar players in all three formats. And forget about even bowling, batting-wise, you know, in a test match or an ODI, typically it's going to go to like your number 7, 8, 9 batsmen. And if they can't bat, then if you can't bat after 7, if a good team takes, you know, top 5, you know, in after 20 overs, after that, you're just going to collapse and you're not going to survive the full 50. And that's something that's just been not good enough. So it's not all West Indies' fault. It really isn't all the West Indies team fault. There's been a lot of, you know, retirements, for example, structural change. They've been a bit unlucky as well. For example, if we look at structural change, we've had a lot of changing captains. For example, Kieran Pollard was the captain. He retired. Now I think Shea Hope is the captain. They don't have much experience, things like that. In terms of like, what do you think the impact is of players retiring? You know, players like Chris Gayle, Dwayne Bravo, Kieran Pollard. What's the impact of them retiring, Zaid?
Well, you know, I think West Indies have sort of been a bit unlucky in the sense that they've been struck by so many retirements in sort of really quick time. You know, just a few years ago, we were just looking at Chris Gayle, Dwayne Bravo, Samuel Badgley, who's a bit longer ago, but you know, these sorts of really explosive players. Kieran Pollard, all these players were in it, but now they're all gone. And I think it's just happened really quickly. And the players have also retired, you know, big, really big players. And it's just, I think, you know, obviously it's not West Indies' fault, it's not all their fault, as you said, because, you know, the players have retired, have been really, really key players to the lineup. And I guess sometimes you just got to accept it and nothing really they can do about it. But yeah, I would say they've been a little bit unlucky. So it's not all about their current players and their performance. It's a little bit, you know, that they've just been struck by so many retirements within a short period of time.
Yeah, I think it's just reduced experience in the team. So a team with too many older players in it that weren't really carrying their weight, like people like Chris Gayle sometimes, Dwayne Bravo did really, but you know, Kieran Pollard wasn't performing. There were too many older players carrying the weight, and suddenly they've all retired, and now you've got too many younger players, and there isn't someone to guide them. And then they tried to sort that out in the 2021 World Cup by bringing Ravi Rampal, but it didn't really have an effect. I just think it wasn't really helping. So it's something else to think about, and I think that's really contributed to that very recent decline as well. And so I think overall, if we were to sum it up, that in all three formats, It is one, the lack of flexibility. You know, if their hitting approach doesn't work, and especially in the ODI and T20 cricket, they don't really, they're not really able to change and, you know, survive an innings and build up a total, and therefore they just collapse the scores under 200. Two, this is applying for mainly Test cricket, but lack of true all rounders. You know, that can provide batting depth and bowling depth. Three, this applies to all formats, the lack of real pace bowlers to provide that X factor, and we looked at examples as well. Fourthly, we didn't mention this very much, but not really, no batsman's really taking authority in the two short formats. See players like Craig Brathwaite do pretty well in Test cricket, and Kyle Mayers as well. They've done pretty well, and Nkrumah Bonner as well has done pretty well. But if you look at ODI and T20 cricket, there's not been anyone who can score, you know, has averaged in ODI averaging like 40 and, you know, scoring a 50 every, you know, three games, for example. There's not really been that consistent player. And it's partly down to a lack of experience. And then finally, penultimate would be no bowler that can really control the innings and, you know, keep a low economy. It's just always, when they're playing good teams, especially, it's just got out of hand too quickly, I think. And the last but not last point I'd say is players retiring, as we mentioned, you know, in a group, a lot of players retiring and leaving quite inexperienced. Zaid, would you say there's anything else you'd add to why the West Indies have fallen so sharply and so quickly?
Well, yeah, I guess you summed it up really. It's just, you know, a matter of they've have been a bit unlucky at times with lots of players retiring. And it just, I really think it's just not really, doesn't really feel like a cricket team to me. It feels more like there's a bunch of players they've sort of had to come together because it's all just happened and they can't really control it because all these, you know, events off field have happened. You know, and therefore these new players have to come in, have a go at competing against these big teams, you know, the best teams in the world. And I guess, you know, to me, it doesn't really feel like a proper team, especially with bowling. It's not really a bowling attack. It's more of just a bunch. It's something like, you know, you want to bowl in partnerships. Broad and Anderson, for example, for England, have been bowling in a big partnership for a hugely important partnership for many, many years. And that really gets like the support going for each of them. But I don't really think that West Indies have that sort of element in their team. They don't have the X factor, you know, something like a Shaheen Afridi or Mitch Stark or something like that. So I just think, you know, you probably sum it up, but, you know, it's also just, I don't really feel like it's really a cricket team.
Mm. If you were to pick, you know, a couple of players you'd say would be the key players in the, if we were to have a new era, a new refresh of the West Indies team, sort of like how England are having with the Test team now, and also England did in the white ball format, white ball cricket in 2016. Who do you say would be your three key players of the West Indies team?
Well, for me, key players at the moment that have got to like sort of push the West Indies to, you know, help them to become better would probably be Shea Hope. I'd probably have Nicholas Pooran. He's young, but he's a pretty important player at the moment. And perhaps Shimron Hetmyer as well. You know, all these three players are explosive batsmen, but really, you know, making decisions as well, that these are three key players I've got to, you know, look at helping their West Indies. Someone like Roman Powell, he's also important. But for me, those are the three players that really are important to helping the West Indies get back to winning ways.
Mm, I think that's fair. So there is hope, but the West Indies do have to, you know, really try hard to get some experienced players in, coach the younger players, also get some more responsibility from the batting and bring in that firepower. Don't keep the firepower sitting on the bench because it's not going to do anything on the bench. You know, it's a bit ridiculous having your, you know, some explosive bowlers that could really make an impact, have it sitting on your bench. But they've got tasks to do, and West Indies could become another mighty force in the near future. So we better be looking out for them in the next World Cup, which is the 2022 World Cup. Anyway, I think that's it for this episode. Thank you, Zoe, for recording, and we'll see you on the next episode.